is the Tom Likas Show.
It's not just a water sport. I knew it.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
That's us, dude.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you find us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24/7 at blowmeupdom.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. We're doing something different this hour, something that we would not normally do, which is what I love to do. In this segment of the program, we're going to be joined, first of all, by our friend, attorney Adam Sachs. And Adam has brought a guest to the table here. And Adam, thanks for coming in.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Tell us about this guest you brought in.
I don't want to give everyone a stroke having me coming on early like this, you know?
Is that what you're expecting?
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, it is Tuesday, but a few hours early. In my research and my work and all these years doing family law, I came across someone named Erin Pitsey, who is just a real pioneer and was kind of like you, Tom. She was one of the original feminists, and she's someone that's written a lot of books and someone that I really admire. And she's pretty well known in Europe, maybe not so much in the U.S., but I thought we would mix it up a little. It was interesting hearing you talking about the World Cup, and I wanted to talk about something a little more serious, which really affects guys and is really a big issue for guys. And so I dragged her in here. Erin, say hello to us. See if your mic is working.
Hello.
Hello, Erin. Thank you for coming in.
Hello, Tom.
So Erin's English, so she's going to give us that whole special accent there. But Erin has a lot of videos on YouTube, and she's written a lot of books, as I've said. What her claim to fame, which is absolutely remarkable, is that back in the 1970s, and I think Erin's going to tell us a little bit about this herself, but I just want to say, back in the 1970s, Erin was very concerned about the issue of domestic violence, which we know comes up a lot in the things that we talk about, Tom. With respect to restraining orders and so forth, affects a lot of people's lives here in the U.S. and elsewhere. And Erin was very concerned about it, and Erin was living in England in the United Kingdom, and she started literally the world's first domestic violence shelter. And I think that's a remarkable achievement. And she made a bunch of them in the United Kingdom, and then she came to the United States, and she was teaching women here and so forth and other people how to do it, and she started setting them up here as well in the U.S., and she was something of a celebrity in the feminist movement for doing this. And then what I think is absolutely remarkable is that Erin started to look into the people that were there and getting to know the women that were coming with their children and so forth to seek shelter from violent relationships. And she discovered something which was, you know, unavoidable, which was that people in violent relationships are violent people. And it's based much more in their childhoods and their past experiences than in men beating up women, which is what we're taught here in the United States. Erin recognized that a lot of women were violent and that a lot of the fights in the marriages had happened and relationships had happened because of the women or were started by the women, and that even men sometimes were victims of domestic violence. And this went very much against the orthodoxy of feminism. And the feminists, and Erin has rubbed elbows with the top feminists in history that you've ever heard of, from Steinem and Friedan and all these other ones. And she came into conflict with them because she was saying the truth, which was that it wasn't just men victimizing women, but it was a pathology of both sides. And it was lovely, Tom, you know, reading about this, because this is what you've always talked about. How women that get into these relationships do it again and again, and they're sick. And the courts today always order the man into treatment and the man into anger management, but they never order the woman to do anything.
Well, I've always said that to put a man into mandatory counseling or mandatory therapy and to tell a woman, well, now you're free from that very dangerous monster, is doing a woman a disservice. Because in my experience, and I come from a a hard scrabble background, a tough background, and to see the women who get into these relationships, they don't get into one or two. It is a lifetime pattern of behavior.
Absolutely.
That needs counseling just as much as any violent male. We don't treat it that way. In our society, the women are the delicate little flowers, the victims, and the men are the big bad monsters, and we need to make laws against them. And so it's very frustrating being a man in that environment.
Absolutely. And what's lovely about Erin is that she was honest, and she recognized that this was going on, and she started speaking about, Tom, money. Bottom line, that's what it is. A lot of it is taxpayer money. It's money from the government and also from private individuals and foundations, but it's all geared towards helping women. And somewhere along the line, Erin said we need to build shelters for men as well because men are victims of domestic violence. We also have to look at the effect that this is going to have on the children in the marriage and how it's going to hurt boys and girls and their experiences seeing these things going on and the way that women are reacting. And that just does not match the dogma and the feminist narrative. And so I think I'm going to let Erin tell the story herself, but she was literally, quote-unquote, run out of town. They took the organization away from her, the leadership, and she was set out of it, even though she was the founder. And at some point, I think she even left the United Kingdom and went to live in Canada.
No, America.
Oh, America?
Santa Fe, New Mexico.
That New Mexico, okay. I thought you did a Canadian stint for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so she needed to leave to her home country because it was rather unwelcoming to her. And she was in a situation where she was giving speeches and lectures and people were coming and protesting and carrying on like animals. And, you know, our good friend, who Erin also knows very well, Warren Farrell, who I know has been on the show quite a few times, Tom, and I know he's a friend of the show and of
over
yours.
Over 20 years, yeah. He's been on many, many times. Sure.
I love his books, and he apparently about a month ago or 2 months ago gave a lecture at the University of Toronto, and these crazy radical feminists pulled the fire alarm, and they were blowing air horns, and they were calling him a rapist and a rape apologist and whatever, and basically they don't really want to hear alternative points of view. And that just makes me sick. And what I see, and this is obviously my connection to it, which we talk about on the show and with the listeners and also in my just work, domestic violence comes up now in many, many divorce cases and many, many paternity cases and family law and so forth, and it's absolutely devastating. The man is painted with it right at the beginning of the case. The judge always looks at that, and that affects how custody gets parceled out. And there is an absolute presumption that women do not lie about these things, that there's no manipulation. And I've had these things where the woman, you know, has this abusive partner, she gets rid of him, and now they're saying, oh, thank God, the poor thing, she had abused spouse syndrome. And then within another month, she's got another scumbag, you know, doing it to her again. And this is a terrible pattern. And what Erin said, which sounds obvious to me, is that this is rooted in real psychological problems that people have, which is based on terrible childhood experiences, such as having violent parents, which can also be your mother, by the way, being very violent towards you. And this is something that goes on and on. And if we don't deal with it culturally, it's going to just continue and kill us, basically. And at this point, it's one of those things where it's something that people can't even talk about because it's almost politically incorrect to even mention it. And that, Tom, made me think of you right away.
Understood. Erin, tell me your definition of the word feminist and whether you think it's relevant these days.
No, I don't. I think it's very, very 1970s. I actually think the whole, it's so despoiled and it's, I just call it, it became an evil empire. It had nothing, actually. There never was a feminist movement. This is where I got into trouble. In 1979, an awful lot of Americans, women, were flushed out of America, actually, by the FBI and the CIA. A lot of them were weather people, if you remember them.
And the Weather Underground, yes.
Yeah, and they ended up, some of them going to Holland. I think that was the Red Stockings, the Bader-Meinhofs in Germany, and they came to England.
Domestic terrorists.
Yeah, domestic terrorists, if you like. They used to call it Beirut by the Sea, London. By the Thames. And what happened was that they began, and we were, all of us, you read in these newspapers, particularly our left-wing newspapers, there's this fantastic new movement for women. And it sounded very, very plausible. It was basically equity feminism. We need equality. the kind of equality that I could see that we needed in my time is that you have to prove to the doctor that you were going to get married before you could have contraception. I'm 75 now. And then also things like you couldn't have a mortgage without your father's signature or your husband's signature or whatever. These things, and actually majority of men felt the same way. Equity feminism was a good idea. But when I went to the great big, I discovered collectives, these huge gatherings in the center of London and Leeds and big cities and across England, what I heard was old-fashioned feminist Marxism. Essentially, the family was going to be a dangerous place for women and children. The new family unit would be women, and children and men would be disenfranchised because they were not necessarily, it was the quote, not necessarily harmonious to family life. And I remember listening to this, and then I was told that we could all go home, invite our friends, meet each other in collectives, and we'd have our consciousness raised. And I remember the lady coming to my house, because the group was in my house, telling me that, I just said, well, my problem is I'm isolated, I'm at home, my husband's away a lot, and I want to meet other women. And my idea of a women's movement is a place where we can get together and make changes in our community. And she said, oh, no, this is not your problem. Your problem is that you're oppressed by your husband. And I just looked at her and said, yes, but he's paying the mortgage. He goes to work. I stay home and have the luxury of being with my kids. Well, what's oppressive about that? And she looked at me and she just said, it's a mink-lined trap. And I remember thinking at that point, this is nothing to do with women. And so, to cut a very long story short, I got booted out. I've actually got a letter banning me from the Women's Liberation Movement, which is ironic. And I went off and opened a tiny little house. It had two floors and two rooms downstairs, two rooms upstairs, an outside lavatory. And there we began to gather with our kids during the day when we could use our talents and invite other women in who needed advice and could help us. One woman was a plumber and she taught us all plumbing. And it was really interesting and it was a nice gathering. And then the first woman walked in. Her name was Kathy. And I'll never forget her. She just took her jersey off and she was blue from her neck down to the waist where Wally, her husband, had taken this chair leg to her and had battered her. And I took her home that night because I couldn't leave her in the house because there was nobody there. And that was the beginning. And you see, I was no stranger to any of this. That was the big difference, I think. And I think the bigger difference was also that I had an educated middle-class voice. So nobody could simply write me off and say, oh, it's because you're poor. Oh, it's because your husband's redundant. Oh, it's because... there was no excuse. My parents, my father was in the Foreign Office. We travelled all over the world. We had servants and cars and whatever else. And they fought cat and dog. So both of them were violent. Both were dysfunctional. And what I realised, actually, as I got older, is if I looked at my family history, you could see the violence coming down the generations. And so when I opened the refuge, it never crossed my mind that one would think of it anything to do with a gender war or men. It was essentially a family issue, a generational issue, and this is how I began to deal with it. And I looked at the two main problems. One was, and I say this for men as well, getting involved by accident in your partner's violence. You're innocent of that. You actually do fall in love or in lust or whatever you want to call it. I call it addiction. And before you wake up, it's too late. And it might take quite a while before the mask of sanity slips. And then you find yourself in a horrendous situation and you need help to get out. That's the easy part. The difficult part were the women who were coming in and they were victims of their own violence. They were violent. They were violent to their children. They either went back to a violent relationship or made repeated violent relationships. And these were the women that I created over a period of 12 years, a long-term therapeutic intervention. It was a community intervention in their lives with their children to actually help heal the lives that they'd never had. They had been battered and abused as children and then grown up to repeat the pattern. And very gifted men and women from all over came and worked with me. But I was very aware from the beginning, while I was anonymous, I was safe. But when the public found out, because the little house suddenly had 65 mothers and children, I remember this, and the women were up against the wall sleeping with their heads on their knees, and the children on the floor on mattresses. An immediate thing, the local borough took out a warrant for my arrest, which made news. And suddenly, from an absolute omerta, nobody ever discussed domestic violence. There was no literature. Suddenly, overnight, the whole thing exploded. And that's when I knew I was in danger. Because at that point, about 2 or 3 years later, the feminist movement, all across the Western world, they'd run out of steam. They were too radical. Majority of women didn't want to be part of them. But what they needed was a just cause and funding. And what more perfect could fall into their laps than this new shelter movement? And that's what they did. And I've always said, because everybody immediately went for the jugular, this is all men, and it got so heated, nobody looked at the politics under it. As far as the radical feminist movement's concerned, it's never been about shelters. Shelters is the bunkers for their business. It's the sugar on the icing. What this is about is a billion-dollar industry that they carved out for themselves. It was in Washington, there was a meeting where it was agreed that the women on the left would no longer support their men. It would no longer be capitalism that would unify men and women. It would be the patriarchy that would exclude men and create what we have now, which is a billion-dollar industry. And it's ring-fenced, and it's jobs for the girls. And it has permeated right the way through our Western civilization, and everybody's asleep.
We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to continue in studio, Aaron Pitsey, and also attorney Adam Sachs. And we're going to have a lot more to say here, and your calls coming up as well at 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-TOM. We're talking about feminism and domestic violence and the law and these movements and the politics of it and the psychology of it all. And, you know, we know many people in our audience who have had experience, including myself, who've been arrested on charges of domestic violence, who actually didn't do anything but had to spend tens of thousands of dollars to get out of the system. And so, you know, we got very strong opinions about this. And we're going to hear from you as well at 901-3000-866.
No transmitters, no satellite dishes, no corporate bullshit. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Summer is here, and it's a great time to enjoy a new car. And our friends at Spring Honda are fully stocked to make it easy for you to drive off in one of the most reliable rides on the road. Now, Hondas, you know how I feel about them. I've had great experiences owning many of them over the years, and I highly recommend Hondas for their value and reliability. And face it, they can be fun cars to drive. Check out their selection and great prices at SpreenHonda.com. They spell it SpreenHonda.com. Now, you can drive by Spreen's huge dealership in Loma Linda or give them a call at this number, 909-799-7070. Spreen Honda. Now, they also have a huge selection of quality, affordable used cars of all major brands. It's all right there at Spreen Honda, just off the 10 freeway in Loma Linda, about 30 to 40 minutes from most parts of L.A. and O.C. Now, call or drop by today. And tell Jeff Spreen, he's a P1, by the way, and his great staff that we sent you. It's 909-799-7070. Spreen Honda, SpreenHonda at SpreenHonda.com.
New normal rock. Newer, faster, harder rock. 24-7. Listen now or we'll pee on your rug. They pee on your fucking rug. Pee to my fucking rug. Find us at NewNormalRock.com and ask like tune in. They peed on your fucking rug. No ballots, no broads, no bullshit.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
Don't make us pee on your rug. New normal rock.
How do you like to improve your financial future? Simply by watching videos. Well, these are not just any videos. They're webinars by Dennis, and they could be exactly what you need to get on the road to financial success. In his 30 years as a consultant and tax professional, here's someone who's seen it all, breaking down the books of hundreds of clients and even helping people like you start their own business ventures. And with that experience, he's developed a trusted reputation as having a unique an insightful look at both the successes and pitfalls of those seeking to attain personal wealth. And now he's sharing that knowledge with you in a series of videos called Webinars by Dennis, packed full of experiences, anecdotes, and practical tricks of the trade that can help you find that business angle that's been eluding you. Watch them on your Mac, PC, or smartphone, and become inspired to succeed in the way you've always dreamed of. Just go to this website, webinarsbydennis.com. That's webinarsbydennis.com. You could be one video away from living the dream. And we are joined by author Aaron Pitsky and by attorney Adam Sachs. And Aaron, you don't know me, and we've never appeared together before. So let me just give you a little background of where I'm coming from. I'm sure for Adam has reached a little bit here, but my position for men in America today is to opt out of the system.
Yeah.
To not get married,
mm-hmm.
To not give the keys to your apartment or your home
mm-hmm.
To a woman,
mm-hmm.
To live alone. You want to date people, fine. If you, you don't have any home because you don't want people moving in and claiming that this is their home mm-hmm. and therefore they can't mm-hmm. be kicked out, which is what happens to men nowadays. A woman moves in and it turns out to be a disaster for whatever reason. The man says, I'd like you to leave. And she says, no. And the law lets her stay. And if the man insists, many times the man gets thrown out of his own home and the woman ends up living in his home.
Mm-hmm.
I've also, and it may seem radical, but I've told men, if you want to have children, don't be having them with women. Do what gay couples do. Find a surrogate mother and, find an egg and sperm donor or be the sperm donor, whatever. Have a contract that allows you to have full custody, no battles in court, no child support debates, no custody debates, no debates about the religion of the kid, where the kid will be educated. In this country, we give women practically unlimited money to raise children. It doesn't matter how much it costs to raise a child. If your boyfriend was a basketball player in the NBA and he makes $15 million a year, our law says that that kid is entitled to $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a month in child support. So I'm telling guys, look, the system is stacked against you. Why participate? Why not just say no? And a woman says, if you don't marry me by Valentine's Day, that's it. Tell them there's the door. Tell them to go. That you don't want to participate anymore. Now, that may seem extreme, but it's not nearly as extreme to me as it is to be going to jail or to be sued or to lose your home or to have a child and then lose the child in the legal proceedings in this country. I think it's time for men to opt out. What do you think about that?
It's a very interesting discussion, and I thought about this a lot. I think there will always be a great yearning for people, men and women, or people need to be loved and to love back. And I think there'll always be that romantic side of men and women and other relationships where people do get together and trust each other. And yes, some maybe get very badly hurt. But my feeling is, and I've been working with this for something like 40-something years, and often saying to men, you have to stand back. You cannot fill your life with your relationship with a woman. You cannot channel everything you have through her because the price is too high now. And as far as I can see, I think the whole MGTOW idea is an extraordinarily good idea, and I recommend it. And I think for a period of time, there almost, has to be a standoff between men and women because the hostility and the consequences are too high. As you say, I mean, I agree with that. I think it's absolutely I'm a mother, a grandmother, and a great-grandmother, and I have, sons, grandsons, and great-grandsons. So I talk with also a very personal attitude towards this. And my feeling is never in the history can I find anybody, any historian, to say, have men ever, ever been put in this position? were, in a sense, a very large part of a very evil empire, as far as I'm concerned, have made it their business to try and destroy them as fathers and to destroy them as men. That's what I think.
We have commented on this show many times about the women who, whether they are bloggers, whether they are tweeting, or whatever, who love to brag about being independent while at the same time demanding more and more alimony, child support, while, of course, needing a sperm donor to create these children who later become responsibilities for millions of American men. And, you know, for me, I've opted out. I'm not married. I don't have kids. I don't choose to participate in that system. Doesn't mean I'm not loved. It doesn't mean that I don't find happiness in life. It doesn't mean I don't have sex. It just means that I believe that men should not give the keys to their place to anyone. They should live alone. They should live a life of quiet reflection. If they want to have a social life or a dating life, I'm all in favor, as long as it doesn't involve bringing people to your home where they can call the police and say that you're some kind of marauder.
Do you actually have friends who are happily married?
Most of my friends are not married and do not have children.
See, I come from a different... See, I'm 75, and I have many, many friends who are married. They've been married. This is their 40, 50, 60 anniversaries. So I'm looking at a tragedy that's happened. Really, it all began at the 60s and 70s when everything just went up in the air and this radical movement lied to women. This is the awful part of it. It was like a Trojan horse. It came in with these promises of equality and this is what we're doing and, you know, women are going to stop competing with each other. We're going to start cooperating. Sisterhoods are going to become powerful. And a huge amount of women in the Western world bought it. And it was all a lie. And by the time they had found themselves, you know, in being told to actually stand up in the 70s in these collectives and to say, I am very happy to be home. It's a luxury to bring up children. And believe me, if you've come from and I don't perhaps have to tell most people listening, you don't have a childhood if your parents are fighting. That's a whole part of your life that you've missed. And you feel yourself so lucky if you can actually create a happy, warm, loving family for yourself. And then to be told that you are demeaning yourself, that you're sleeping with the enemy. And this is tirade that came out. And even now, I mean, the big push in England is even if the men aren't able to be there for their children for one reason or another, women are being forced out to work at five, the age of five. And so... who's there to love and nurture and bring up children? Nobody. And we have actually sold, as far as I'm concerned, our heritage for a mess of pottage. And the pottage was an unbelievable dream that somehow women, and only women, could have it all. And what I see is shoals and shoals and shoals of absolutely exhausted women who are confused, angry, hostile, and they don't know what they believe.
See, I think very few of them actually have it all, right?
Well, none of them have it all.
Nobody
right?
has it all. I mean, I kept saying, but you're a house slave. And I said, yeah, but I have a choice as a house slave. The men are wage slaves. They have no choices. So why would I swap their lives for mine? I agree, everybody should have opportunities. But it wasn't about opportunities. It was a fraudulent movement. It was there to defraud the public and anybody else they could get money out of. It had nothing to do with victims of domestic violence. So what we have now is headed by very top women. In our country, it's Harriet Harman. In your country, it's people like Hillary Clinton. And eventually, I'd like to sue them all for fraudulently taking money away off the backs of very fragile women and kids.
And there are other things going on, too, you know, on the heels of everything we're talking about. We have increased demands for more money for things like child care, people having children that there's no family system to take care of these kids. So they have kids. They need to work to support the kids. So now there are demands on state governments and the federal government here. To pay for preschool programs, after school programs, daycare programs. You know, I, not having children, And not taxing the system the way people do when they have children and send them to public education. I resent the idea that while I'm taxing the system less, I'm being taxed more to pay for the dreams, hopes, and ambitions of women who want to have children outside of a family system.
Well, one of the things you'd have to do, I don't know how history will look back. I think it'll look back on the last 50 years as the Dark Ages in terms of human relationships. I can't see any other way of looking at it because it is so fractured, it is so broken. And for so many, it's almost like the radical feminist movement is a cult movement. It brainwashes just as much as whether it was, you know, one of the Maharishis with their Indian followers all dressed in yellow and banging drums. It's the same sort of thing, because when you try and talk any kind of sanity to them, even the ones who are actually running the show, it's like you come up against their core belief. And the moment you actually say to somebody like Harriet Harman, who's in the Labour Party, she's a women's minister, but Harriet, you have to agree, research across the country, across the world shows that the figures are absolutely equal for domestic violence in terms of who attacks, all the rest of it. And her face just contorts like a maniac, and she spits at you. The number of men who are attacked by women are minuscule. And you look at her and you think, she's a minister in the government. And I don't suppose for a moment it would be any different here. But I could, I suppose the tragedy was, I could see it. And I was asked to go and have a, when I came to, I was invited to come to America to help with the shelter movement. I just remember coming here and being given a luncheon of honor on Capitol Hill. And I was standing up to talk about family violence, domestic violence. And the room was icy. Because across America at that time, there were all the women's movements, all the groups filling in all these title something, 21s or something, because they were going to make all this money and they were going to have all this, half the university was going to be devoted to the idea that men are demons. And now, 40-something years later, look at it. Look what's happening in your universities and on your campuses. Men aren't turning up. They're hostile places towards men. And as you say, the MGTOW movements, it's huge in Japan. And it's growing as more and more men are taking to the hills. And you know, in a funny way, this is my English sense of humor. But when you women attack men, men don't attack back. They run away. They just get out of the way and get on with their lives, which is what you're talking about.
Yeah. I just don't want to be accused of anything. I don't want to be sued. I don't want to be in court. I don't want anyone calling 911 and forcing me to spend another $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 defending myself for things I didn't do.
But
the women won. They won. I'm retreating to the hills. I have my own homes. I have my own life. I will never put myself in a position where somebody can sue me or call the police or threaten me. I'm not going to put myself in that position.
Yeah, and the other part of it all is, you know, since when? I can't remember in England when men lost their human rights, because it has always been a principle in our countries that a person is innocent till they're proven guilty, except now in cases of domestic violence. He is guilty and he has to prove his innocence. Now, when did that happen? And why are we not bringing case after case after case after case? It's the only way. You know, and I do think it's getting to a position where there are sufficient amount of men who are willing. One of my big problems in the very beginning, that's why I was so isolated, almost immediately after I opened the Women's Refuge, I got the Islington Council in North London to give me a really nice big house, because I knew men needed refuge as well. And the very men, the millionaires who'd give me money for my mothers and children and help my projects there, they wouldn't give me a penny for other men. And to this day, there's virtually nothing for men across the Western world.
That's incredible.
Why? Why?
Your guess is as good as mine.
I know.
And it's not just that. Our college campuses now are a joke.
I know.
With these tribunals where a male student is accused of looking at someone funny or saying the word bitch or accused of date rape, whether or not there's any hardcore evidence of it. and men having to simply go before these tribunals? And do you think it's any accident now that more women attend college in the United States than men do?
The figures are really frightening, actually. They've fallen right down something like 39% of men, isn't it?
Yes. And at the same time, many women are wondering where all the good men are.
You know,
where are all the good men? And why can't I find someone with a good education? Well, you know what? Men have been literally stampeded off college campuses. Mm-hmm. Yes, they're going to spend their 20s and 30s playing video games and doing basic manual labor or anything that doesn't require a lot of effort. And we're not interested in getting married either because of the way the system is now.
It's a very, very bleak outlook. I, being a romantic at heart, would like to think that if we all work hard enough and pull together enough, and there's a new generation, which I do notice coming. I was at a big festival, which normally I'd get horribly picketed at and screamed at. But there were a lot of young women there who came to hear, and they packed the room, and they were all sitting against the walls. And I was waiting for the shouting, and actually it didn't happen, and I ended up saying, in this case, when it's to do with generational violence, the real victims, the children, adults at least get to choose each other. Us kids just get born into concentration camps, private ones. And I said to all of them, I just said, you know, if men and women don't work together, there's no future. And they all actually, I was amazed and very touched because they all knew that I was making sense. Because these are the children of the Harridans.
Well, I think you do have a situation here where people may agree with you intellectually,
mm-hmm.
but the system, whether
it's dangerous.
But
it is part of the empire. I mean, almost immediately, I can't speak America. I know that Tom, Adam knows much more about this than I do, but immediately in England what happened is they got themselves organized. They threw up these refuges, shelters. We call them refuges, you call them shelters. And what happened is the first thing they did was all the training packs. So all the training for the last 40 years have been done by the feminist movement right the way across the judiciary, the police, social service agencies, and they flooded in there. So we've got a lot more women lawyers in London, in England, than we have men because they're moving out. And this is what's happening across the way. So it's big business, the brainwashing. And if you try and talk to ordinary people who aren't, as I've talked to Adam about, in the belly of the beast, they look at you as though you're absolutely insane. And the idea, when I say no, I'm not a feminist. I was a feminist for about 5 minutes. And then I look at them and say, and I will tell you why not. Most of them don't even believe me.
I'm sure that's true. And there's an awful lot of people who are arguing from emotion, not statistics, not facts. And a lot of people are not thinking about the long-term implications
mm-hmm.
of men not wanting to get married, not wanting to father children,
mm-hmm.
not wanting to go to a university.
Mm-hmm.
They're not thinking about that. They just don't care. And in my case, there are people trying to get at us. Here we came to the Internet where we should be free to do and say what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there are people trying to tear us down mm-hmm. in any number of ways, merely because I'm speaking from a male point of view.
But also, Tom, you're threatening a billion-dollar industry. If, and before I die, I really hope this happens, if we can prove that it's a generational issue, it affects boys and girls, and their chances of leading normal lives are very curtailed, then they're going to have to share the pot, and it's a very, very big pot.
No doubt about it. Let's take a break here.
The bottom line, Tom.
Go ahead. Finish up, Adam, and then we'll take a break.
Okay. Listen, it's very much about the bottom line, like she said. And I'm out there every day fighting the good fight, as you know, Tom. But when we talk about people that have had these great marriages for 50 years and you guys sort of bounce back and forth about that, that's something that you and I always talk about, Tom. That's your grandmother, you know. She didn't have 10 emails and a Facebook account. I'm not so sure women like that are floating around today.
They don't make women like your mother or your grandmother anymore.
But we were trained to be married, Tom. You see, it was something that we looked up to and we wanted to do. That's gone now. If you even say that you're happy to be at home with your children and all the freedoms and the creativity that gives you, everybody laughs.
Yeah, you're obviously a loser.
Well, I talk all the time on the show about women who get married, have kids, and they spend their days at home posting selfies on Facebook of themselves in bikinis and what have you. They've got 17 different email addresses. They've got secret Facebook accounts. Ultimately, after 3 to 5 years, they will bail. They refer to men as starter husbands. Starter husbands. I'm going to marry him. I'm going to have a couple of kids with him. He's going to pay child support when we're done and help me, quote, one of the words I hate the most in the whole world, he's going to help me co-parent our kids. And then I'll move on and maybe marry the guy I really want later on. But I'll have Poindexter here, my first husband. He will pay for everything and take care of the kids. And when I want to go away for the weekend with my new boyfriend, I'll be calling him to babysit. This attitude about family is one of the reasons I'm voting with my feet.
It's not about family, is it, actually? It's about exploiting.
Well, of course it is. We'd all love to. Look, I'll tell you what. My mom was a saint, and my grandmother was wonderful. And I'd love to find women like that in the 21st century. But there aren't that many of them.
I keep looking, and I keep hoping, and I do hope that... I do know. I know some lovely, lovely young women, but you wouldn't find them easily. They're not in nightclubs. They're not trying to hook up with men. They really aren't.
So what's the point?
Well, the point is they've got things they do themselves, and they wait, and they make good, hopefully warm, loving relationships.
Well, but have you ever dated a woman? I mean, you'd be surprised how they act when they're with me or Tom. It's a whole different situation. They may seem lovely to you, but they're coming with a very different approach when they're actually with a man.
You know,
with an agenda.
Can I just say something? I would not like to say anything about all I can see. I know a lot of 50-year-old rock chicks in this town. And believe me, it's not a pretty sight.
Well, it's tragic for a woman to go that far
and
not have a family.
They're not going to have a family. They're not going to have a man in their lives. And they're sitting there still, Botoxed, whatever it is, you know, up to the hilt. And everything's false anyway. And they sit there saying to me, I'm looking for the one.
Yeah, the one.
Yeah,
one. But if she was set up, if you set her up on a date with Tom, she would come in with such an attitude and be so nasty, it would turn him off in seconds.
But see, sometimes I say to women, hey, hang on a minute, could you run that by me again? Because it sounds awful. And I have no idea I've talked about this to you. Freud, on his only visit to America, wrote a letter to say, and this is in the 20s, if Americans don't do something about their women, there is going to be a tragedy. And he's right. The aggression. Why? Where does all that come from? I think sometimes I wonder if it's the pioneering women who came down. And actually the men were dead by the time they got down to the West.
I don't think so.
I think a lot of the aggression, frankly, comes from women who were told they could have it all.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So they waited until 30 or 35 to get serious about finding a man to settle down with and have kids with. Then when they are 35 and men are not interested in them or there are no available men, then they become bitter and angry about that.
And one of the problems is, you see, it is absolutely sacred. If you dare, and I do it all the time, to say, listen, before we get anywhere else, women have to look at themselves and their behavior.
Oh, God.
And that makes you... I know, but it's true.
That's a declaration of war right there.
No, but it's true. And the fact is that, you know, men... It's interesting. Men will beat their chest and say, yeah, I know I do that. I know I do that. Because for such a long time, everything's been laid at men's doors. Women have been put on this pedestal. And actually, sometimes the hardest people to get to really be realistic about women is men. You know, is that they don't let her off the pedestal. And actually, women can be as evil as men, as dangerous, all the rest of it. And I just think there comes a time when women are going to have to question where they've put themselves, because they're written off as a generation. They're a lost... You know, we talk about lost generation of men in the 20s, the Hemingways and whatever. Well, this is a lost generation of women, or several, actually.
Well, here is the line I use all the time as a man, whether it's talking about marriage or having a monogamous relationship with one particular woman, or having children, or whatever. The line goes like this. I say, what's in it for men? You know, getting married is great for women, because if it doesn't work out, they move on from their starter husband. They collect money from him. They get possession of the kid. They get to call all the shots about where the kid will go to school, what state the kid will live in, blah, blah, blah. What's in it for men? What do men get for being married? Alimony, child support obligations, the attitude that they have to listen to forever, even though they are the father of that child. Why should men even participate in a system like that?
I think the answer to that is, intellectually, you're absolutely right. But emotionally, I think forever, people fall in love with each other, even for the wrong reasons, whatever else. Human relationships are human relationships. We've just got to get a lot more sophisticated about them. And I think I would like to open a school to train men.
That's us.
Yeah, that's you.
That's what we're doing.
But, I see the whole program.
That's what we're doing, right, Tom?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, I hope so.
Tom
men.
Talks about it as a class. He says, this is my virtual classroom.
He's probably right.
And I tell men, look, if you're going to have a relationship, you have to take certain steps to protect yourself.
Yeah.
And among them, don't give anyone the key to your place.
Well, first of all, very simple things like, if she texts you 160 times a day and never stops ringing you, it doesn't mean she loves you. It means she's morbidly jealous. Watch out. That's my teaching.
Well, again, as far as being jealous is concerned, I've gone a step beyond that, and I've told men, look, stop worrying about what she's doing, because when her high school sweetheart comes to town, or when she meets George Clooney in a hotel lobby bar, she's going to do whatever she wants, and she's not going to tell you. So let's stop worrying about what she's doing. And as far as I'm concerned, what I'm doing isn't her business either. I'm not going to tell her. I will see her when it's convenient for both of us. If it's not convenient for her, fine. She can go off with the high school sweetheart. If it's not convenient for me, I'll go off with a stripper or whoever. And the idea that we're going to be on lockdown and we're going to be spying on each other and we're going to be jealous of each other, this is the kind of thing that puts you in a situation where women are calling the police and having men taken down. I won't put myself in a position like that.
All right, Tom, listen. If you had your druthers, though, would you like a nice, mature, warm, loving relationship?
I would like a woman, an age-appropriate woman, who is like my mother was.
Okay.
And those women do not exist in large numbers. They're hard to find.
I agree.
And so, therefore, I'm not going to go... cruising the bitter single mothers of Los Angeles trying to find somebody like in that list.
I agree. My son's married and he lives here and I'm here a lot of the time. And I do see what you see. And I find it incredibly sad. Very
bitter,
sad.
Angry women who, first of all, they've slept with everybody in the Los Angeles phone book.
And the AA.
They've got 175,000 miles on the odometer, and then when they get to us, they have a whole list of requirements for us. You know, if you ever want to see how women think, one of the great ways to see it is to look at some of these online dating sites. The demands women make, the expectations women have. You know, 45-year-old women who want to date 21-year-old guys who are good-looking and in shape and have money and have it together, and will accept my 14-year-old daughter. I'm amazed at the stuff I read.
God. There's got to be some hope, Tom. I'm feeling all wrung out.
All right. Aaron, I didn't mean to ruin your day, but
yeah,
this is what we talk about like every day here. This is
I know.
This is our thing.
No,
we're
going to
take
know,
a break.
I know.
Let me jump in here 1 second. We're going to take a break.
After the break.
We're going to come back and continue this conversation because it's fascinating, and I know it's resonating with our listeners. Aaron Pitsey is our guest. Adam Sachs is in studio as well, and we're talking about, you name it, feminism, domestic violence, what's going on with men on college campuses, whether men should get married, having children, family, all of that. And if you've got a comment or a question, you can call in right now at this number, 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-TOM. You can dial right now at 901-3000-866.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Hey, P1s, our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the new normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
The Tom Likas Show. We have great listeners. And that means ecstatic advertisers.
Hi, this is Adam Sachs, and I'm an attorney, and I have been advertising on the Tom Likas Show since he got started. I didn't really know what to expect when he made the transition to internet radio. I have been very pleasantly surprised. I've gotten great response and great results, and I would certainly recommend it to anyone who wants to get into the great demographic of young men 20 to 40. And I certainly think that it is a great way to spend advertising money and to get great, great response.
If you can't remember the last time you got response from your advertising, brother, do you need to call the new normal now? Tap into the most responsive audience in any medium.
There's no doubt about it. I'm seeing a great return on my investment.
Hop on now and be part of new media history. It's going nowhere but up. Advertise like you mean it. Call 818-52-RADIO. 818-52-RADIO. That's the new normal at 818-52-RADIO.
All right, boys, let's talk insurance. Coslow Insurance. C-O-S-T-L-O. Now, you've probably heard Jeremy Rubin on our show. Jeremy's family has owned and operated Coslow since 1965, and they're all about getting you the right protection at the right price. Now, you know I got my Tesla Model S insured with Coslow. Well, you know I was so happy with their service. Now I've added two more of my cars and my home in the Hollywood Hills, and it's not just me. Plenty of listeners have called to tell us how thrilled they are that they've made the switch. Look, there's a reason Coslow has been in business for almost 50 years. Give them a call for a free, no-obligation quote. The number, 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslowInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance. It's 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslowInsurance.com today. Coslow. C-O-S-T-L-O. It's the Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. That's where Gary Zabransky, Dean J. DeVilleo, Mikey Timpson, Attorney Adam Sachs and Aaron Pitsy are located for this particular edition of the Tom Likas Show. I'm coming to you from the Radio Ranch at New Normal North in northern Santa Barbara County. And we're going to continue this conversation at 901-3000-TOM. I'm sorry? Okay, 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. It's 901-3000-866.
Radio would never, ever let us do this. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Yeah.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's Beer Magazine. Porn star Marlon Dahl had sex for 12 straight hours to celebrate Chile's World Cup win.
Right.
She said she would do it for 8 hours. She went for 12.
Well, she had to accommodate all the men's. And she did a great job.
Yeah. She actually put her phone number up on Twitter and just took a bunch of random dudes.
Yep. And good for them.
Right.
They had a great time.
I guess.
I'm sure they had no shortage of, or she had no shortage of dudes willing to step up.
Of course not. Guys are so horny, they'll just do anything. It's goddamn amazing.
Goal!
Yeah. This is exactly what we've been talking about. A former theater teacher at Hancock County High School. A guy.
Yeah.
Sentenced to 20 years for having sex with a 16-year-old student. We just reported yesterday.
And then women got 15 months.
She got 15 months. She got 15 days.
Oh.
15 days she got. Days.
Yep. Look at our friend Hiram J. Cooker.
I think that's
Look at
Hiram.
His face. Yeah. Hiram. Look at him. That's a dude looking at some time.
He's like, wait a minute, what? She got 15 days.
Right.
I just got 20 years. Yeah, Hiram J. Cooker.
Yeah.
Wonder if he is a Cooker. We don't know.
He should be. For all the time he's getting, he should have dealt coke, too.
Your friend has two sons, by the way. He apologized to them and the chick that he banged and her family.
Right.
Before
Get going, lots of
before
apologies.
Before going to the can for a long time.
The district attorney said that crimes against the children remain a top priority for his office. That's basically a nice way of saying if you're a dude, you're in big trouble.
Right.
Chicks, go for it.
Yes. An attorney in Columbus, Ohio apparently raped a woman after she refused sex with the judge in order to get a lighter sentence for her son.
Yeah.
He's like, I got a great idea. Here's how we keep your son out of jail.
Yeah.
Why don't you just bang the judge? And when she said no, he apparently raped her.
Yeah. Well, he had to get what was his, I guess, in his mind.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Not only raped her, but then he masturbated in front of her.
He couldn't control
crazy.
Himself.
What a crazy situation.
Wow, that is pretty messed up.
Yeah. Imagine that.
And the guy's an attorney.
Yeah, so
imagine being so hard up. Wow. Light sentence.
Donald Sterling apparently enjoying quite the weekend getaway.
He did. This is a very interesting story.
Not one broad with him, but four.
Yeah. By the way, if you're a billionaire, I expect nothing less. Even a billionaire that looks like him.
Right.
The best is some... I don't know how this asshole, to tell you the truth, I really don't have any idea how it's possible that the... This guy at the JW Marriott Hotel in
Palm Desert.
How is he able to take a picture of... If this guy is along for the trip, and he's taking a picture to make our friend Concert Mark, is his name, the Instagram user.
Mm.
I hope he wasn't with Sterling, because I'd punch the guy in the face for showing a picture like that.
Donald Sterling has no idea what's going on around him. He's
clearly.
Right? I mean, look at the
picture.
But
don't you think Concert Mark is taking advantage here?
Of course.
Okay.
Who's not taking advantage of Donald Sterling in this whole story?
Yeah.
By the way, in this whole world, who's not taking advantage of Donald Sterling?
I want Donald Sterling to send that guy home. Concert Mark, no more.
If I were in Concert Mark's shoes, I'd be doing the same thing. In fact, I'd be ordering up like crazy.
By the way, when you order on a billionaire's tab,
yes,
you got to admit, top shelf, top repeat, shelf. Top shelf.
No doubt about it.
Right?
Yep.
That's how we do.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, she's at it again. That's Mexico's number one fan, 2013 Playboy Playmate, Raquel Poplar.
Raquel Poplun. Something.
Yeah.
Potpourri.
Yes. She's
amazing.
Gallivanting with a little booty shorts and her Mexican flag, which, by the way, has Hornitos on it.
I know. You're going to have to explain that to me. I don't think Hornitos appears on the Mexican flag.
I don't think so, but maybe
it does. And let me ask you this.
Maybe it does now.
If you are Mexican, isn't that desecrating the flag?
You would think so. You
Listen,
would think so.
I even if Budweiser was still an American company, which it is
you
not.
You wouldn't put it on the flag?
If you put that shit on the flag, I'd punch you in the face.
Right, of course you would. Yeah.
This, to be fair, is not a Mexican flag. It is the colors of the Mexican flag. Fuck, if you flip it around, it looks like the Italian flag.
That's true.
And so it doesn't have that
anything?
The emblem in the middle to make it the Mexican flag. So she probably is able to get away with it.
Yeah.
Plus, nobody looks up past her ass, so they don't know.
Right. Plenty more newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Concert Mark No More.
Check out the podcast.
Concert Mark No More.
GaryandDino.com is where you find it. There's a brand new show for you every single Friday. It's GaryandDino.com.
Take a second of your day. Go to GaryandDino.com and sign up for this show, please. Jesus
Christ.
From
the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Let's talk about El Pollo Inca. El Pollo Inca restaurant in Gardena is owned by our P1 listener Antonio Atoche and his brothers, and they serve the best Peruvian food you'll find anywhere, including their famous pollo a la brasa, which is delicious rotisserie chicken. And that's just a start. They've got tons of amazing beef, chicken, seafood, and vegetarian dishes, and a friendly staff. Get their special chicken soup complimentary with every meal, and man, is it good. Plus, get this, the soup is all you can eat when you're dining in. El Pollo Inca on West Artesian Boulevard in Gardena, right on the 91 at where the 110, 405, and 91 meet. Check out their full bar offering specialty drinks like their killer Pisco Sour, a signature Peruvian cocktail. And don't miss their hard-to-find Peruvian beers. They've got karaoke on Thursday nights, salsa dancing Friday through Sunday nights, even salsa classes if you want to learn. Get info at this number, 310-516-7378, or visit elpolloinca.com. El Pollo Inca, 1425 West Artesian Boulevard in Gardena, close to the 710 and minutes from the 605. Easy to get to, lots of free parking, no excuses. Get your ass out to El Pollo Inca in Gardena.
This is the new normal.